I'd like you to come to John chapter 7 with me, because we are in the new day. And I want to kind of give you a little bit of insight as to what he was showing me today, and I'm hoping that it will help you. Sam, would you kind of crank up the light, please? Because I'm going to be using the Amplified, and it's got smaller print. How about that? John chapter 7, I want to kind of go to verse 1. Now you'll get to see that Jesus did celebrate the feast here, but we're going to make one point. In verse 2, it's called a Jewish feast. It's not God's feast. You know why? Because the Jews are doing it their way. So you can celebrate this feast doing it your way. You can do it doing it under the instructions of the Holy Spirit, meaning you're going to do it God's way. So by the time Jesus came into the realm of the flesh, the Jews were doing it their way. Verse 1, after this, Jesus went from place to place in Galilee, for he would not travel in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was drawing near, and so his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples there may also see the works that you do. This is no place for you. Notice the arrogance and the attitude. For no one does anything in secret when he wishes to be conspicuous and secure publicity. If you must do these things, if you must act like this, show yourself openly and make yourself known on CNN. That's my version. For his brothers did not believe in or adhere to or trust in or rely on him either. Notice they didn't rely, trust, or adhere to him, or believe in him. Whereupon Jesus said to them, my time or opportunity has not yet come, or not come yet. But any time is suitable for you, and your opportunity is ready. Any time is always here. So again, our Lord is responding to them, telling them they can do their own thing and it's no big deal. But for him, it's not permitted. There are things that you, as a believer, will not be permitted to do, but other people in the world or even in your family may be totally happy doing, and you can just let them do what they want to do. Don't get bent out of shape about it, because Jesus didn't get bent out of shape about them either. He just let them go on and do their own thing. And he shut down. He didn't give them advice. He just let them go ahead. Verse 7, the world cannot be expected to hate you, but it does hate me because I denounce it for its wicked works and revealed that its doings are evil. Go to the feast yourself. I am not yet going up to the festival because my time is not ripe. I love this word because ripe means that, you know, there's a grace period allotted, but it's only for a small amount of space, and he knows there's a little more to go. My term is not yet complete. It is not time for me to go. Having said these things to them, he stayed behind in Galilee. But afterwards, when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he went up also, not publicly, not with a caravan, but by himself quietly, and as he did not wish to be observed. Now, it's important to recognize that he was going to go. He was going to observe the feast, honor his father, even though they're maybe not doing it all right. But he's still going to obey what the rules said. Therefore, the Jews kept looking for him at the feast and asking, where can he be? Where is that fellow? And there was among the mass of people much whispering, discussions, etc., etc., etc. Now, verse 14, when the feast was half over, Jesus went up into the temple courts and began to preach or teach. The Jews were astonished, and they said, how is it that this man has learning? It is is so versed in the sacred scripture and in theology when he has never studied? I love this reality, because this shows you that the anointing and his ability to be in that anointing was more powerful than all their learning and all their theological studies. Jesus answered them by saying, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me." Who was he referring to? His Father. "If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know that and have the needed illumination to recognize, can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking for myself or from myself and my own accord and my own authority." Verse 18 is very important. "He who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. He whose teaching originates from him or originates with himself seeks his own glory." So who is he puffing up? Himself. "But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him," meaning the Heavenly Father, and it's still true today, "he is true, and there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him." So in other words, what he is in front of you is what he'll be behind you. What he speaks to you in front will be the same as he speaks to you or about you to another person. So you're never going to hear a gossip about someone who really loves the Lord and is trying to honor the Lord. And that should be something that you should be aware of, is because there are times that I have been very blunt with some of you. And I was forced to speak the truth to you, because otherwise you would not grow up. And there are times that I've had these discussions with different individuals privately, where I said, "You're doing it wrong, you need to change it. This is the negative spirit behind it. This is what's happening, and you need to work at renouncing this garbage, because it's hurting you." And yet there are other corners where I've said to some of you, "You are in a place where God is allowing the tares to grow up." How many of you remember that? "And when that tare grows up, you get to see it more and more, and you get more angry at yourself," which you should not be, because the angels of God are going to come and pull it out at the time that it is ripe to pull out. Remember he said it's not time yet, because the time is not ripe. It's not ripe. Well, if you pull out a tear before it starts to dry up and it's too loose underneath, you're going to pull up the good stuff too. So let the tears grow, even if you don't like what you're hearing out of yourself, even if you don't like your reactions to somebody. Be at rest with God and trust his angels to do a wonderful house cleaning. Because that was what the vision was again today. The dripping. Maybe you were sitting under that spigot that she saw. Okay. It did occur. Praise God. So all of you sit right here next week. Okay? All teasing. I want you to go now to another level. I want you to go to verse 37, because I don't want to tie this down too much with words. Verse 37, "Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood forth, and he cried out in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, out of his inmost being, springs and rivers of living water shall flow continually.'" Now, based upon that word, I want you to take your right hand and place it over your tummy and repeat with me, "Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. And I am cleaving to you. And I'm choosing to trust you. And I'm choosing to rely on you. Because sometimes my emotions don't match. But out of my innermost being, springs of water and rivers of living water are flowing continually out of me. That's why I can irritate the enemy. He doesn't like living water. He likes soil stuff. He's comfortable with dirt. That's why he uses as much of my flesh as he can. Catching on? What am I giving you? I'm giving you a word today that I pray you will understand, that the Holy Spirit is working. Verse 39. But he was speaking here of the Spirit whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him were afterwards to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet glorified or raised in honor. Listening to those words, some of the multitude said, "This is certainly and beyond doubt the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." And they were very excited, amen? Then 46, you can study this later on. The attendants replied, "Never has a man talked as this man talks. No mere man has ever spoken as he speaks." Isn't that wonderful? And you can check out the balance on your own, because there's a lot more food there. But I want to give you just a couple of the promises that are given that are going to hopefully help you to understand, this is the book that I saw in my vision. Okay? And you don't want to borrow this because you'll go cuckoo. But I'm going to give you, if you're making some notes, you might want to study some of this, because it'll give you some, let's say, answers to why you're here. The fullness of tabernacles will be the fullness of times, of his glory and of his sons, and the ends of the age have come upon us at their appearing and the manifestations. What are we talking about? The sons of God. Romans 8:19. Romans 8:19. It's not the end of the age or the end of the ages, but it'll be the ends, E-N-D-S, of the ages. Romans 10, verses 1 and 2, and verse 6, King James Version. Tabernacles and the fullness of restoration, which is what the theme was for this year. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 will give you insight. You'll also find in JL abbreviation. My brain's a blank. JL. Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 23-32. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 9, verse 17. Here's what it implies. The appearing of these remnant ones, these perfect ones, these immutable ones, these restorers of all things lost in the fall, these who have appropriated the full provision of the cross, these who have come to his image, his likeness, his fullness, his completeness, will now finish in the tangible realms. Did you hear that? They will what? Finish in the tangible realms all things that exist in the spirit realm. John 14, verse 12, Ezra 3, 1, Ephesians 4, verses 3 and 6, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28. These sons of Zion will deliver all creation. This is what's coming. Do you hear me? The sons of Zion. Now, you heard enough about Zion this week that you know it's a church above the normal church. Yet it floats above, and that's what the vision was. That's your ark of safety that you saw. That's Zion. It's riding on a mass of people, which is the church. Okay? Because they have become the habitation of the Godhead. Even the Father himself, John 14, 23. Romans 8, verse 19 through 22. They'll be one spirit, one mind, one embodiment of the fullness of God, Ephesians 3, 19. They'll see eye to eye, Isaiah 52, verses 1, and then Isaiah 8, verse 10, And then Revelations 14, 3, Revelations 5, 9 through 13. It would be of particular interest and profit to us if we would consider carefully the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, the book of Haggai, the book of Zechariah, and in different feasts, we've had teachings on almost every one of these, because these four books deal with the return of the remnant to Jerusalem, which is the church, not a physical city. Ezra the priest, Nehemiah is the governor, type of the Holy Spirit. Haggai and Zechariah, the prophet, who encourage the people to great task. Now, these appearing sons of Zion will enforce the work of the cross, and all things will become perfect, like it was originally. For the Lord's appearing, Haggai prophesied on the last day of the feast. His name signifies Feast of Jehovah. Haggai 2, verses 1 through 9. Zechariah prophesied God's favor to Zion and the coming branch of God. Zechariah 2, verses 1 through 13. Zechariah 3, 1 through 6. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Now, I've given you enough ammunition.
What did you say the sons of Zion will deliver what?
They'll deliver the earth. They'll deliver the people first. And then the full restoration of the earth, like it was originally designed to be. Not with all the sin effects that you've seen. And you'll see that in Romans 8. If you study Romans 8, you'll see that all of creation is crying out for the sons of God. Well, what are they crying out? They're crying out for the revelations of these men that are going to be full of God to do what Jesus did. And it's going to be like a corporate man. So when you and I look at, you know, trying to survive in this realm without developing our spiritual abilities, we're going to continue to fall and we're going to hurt. So we've got to get him to download in us, which is what I was hoping that you'd taste tonight. And some of you tasted different things, and it's okay. But I believe that as we, as a church, as a corporate body, work together, and there was awesome revelation during this feast. No more division. Expose the enemy. By the way, I saw him again today. A lady was driving across, and it was not pretty, and I got a little smug. So I had to repent because of you. Because of you. Yeah.
Yes, her word last night.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. How many had problems today seeing this little...
I have a confirmation for
you. Oh, that's good. Huh? Well, this can be edited if it needs to be. Oh, isn't that neat?
What it says down the bottom.
You reap what you sow. Lovely. Okay. I just want you to be obedient now. That as you go forth in the balance of this day, which is going to be till sundown tomorrow, as much as you can, enter in. Go into that realm. Take some quiet time. Run away from home if you have to. All right. Now, this is no lie. I know of a lady that I met. She had seven children. Okay? And do you know where her little tabernacle was?
Underneath her towel.
That's right. She literally put the towel over her head and all the kids just quieted down until Mama got recharged.
I go to the bathroom.
Well, there you go. All right. So, understand, you might be in your car. You might just be resting under the anointing. It's okay. Take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you can do. Obey the Lord as best you can. And get recharged. Get refilled with Him. Any questions?
Well, what you said about community, there's sometimes when your head, you just can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put on some, you know, good music or whatever. There's nothing's going to do it. I shut off the phone. I do everything. It just can't settle in. But I take communion. And in that process, I anoint myself and take communion. And for some reason, it just
draws you in.
Draws you in, you know. Yeah. And you're off, you know.
Well, then why don't you come with me now? We're going to do that.
Forget what I just said.
Come on, kids. Let's do it. Yeah, don't put your chairs too far. Okay? I'm just going to turn them. I don't want Bob to be losing what he's already received. I did hear from the Lord to make sure that I opened up these new candles just in the new day, which is the seventh day, and voice tonight. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we're preparing to receive you.
We're preparing to receive you.
Because we don't want to waste this seventh day. It is the season of restoration. And we truly want restoration. Everything that was broken down. Needs to be restored. And we're looking for you, Lord. We declare this to be your body. And your blood. So that when we take this tonight, you will recharge us.
You will recharge us.
Transform us.
Transform us.
And restore us.
And restore us.
For the fullness of your day.
For the fullness of your day.
Which is approaching.
Which is approaching.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We're going up. Did you notice? We're going up.
Hallelujah.
We're going up. Tell your neighbor, you're going up.
You're going up.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As you were broken. Some of us are definitely being broken, and it's okay. And so I rejoice with this communion for transformation, transfiguration, and restoration. Come and receive.